All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Are we live? We're live. All right. That means I can't mess up. Okay. Pressure's on. All right, guys. Hey, welcome to Bird Park Community Church. How's everyone doing this beautiful Sunday? We doing all right today? Man, it is hot. It's a little hot for me. I'm not going to lie. If it's like above 70, I'm out. All right. That's from Washington, me speaking there. So welcome, guys. It's good to see you. What a beautiful time to be on the island. And thank you for being here this beautiful Sunday. We don't have a lot of announcements today, but as always, follow along in the lyrics. You can scan the QR codes there on each table and follow along as we're singing today. We'd love you to do that. You know, one of the songs we're going to be singing is one of my favorites. You guys might have heard it. One of the lines, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Anybody need any strength for today and a bright hope for tomorrow? Anybody? Am I the only one? There's a few of us, all right? As the band comes up, that was the line that really struck me today. You know, work has just been dragging me down. It has been hard. I don't know if everyone else is feeling just the August uglies. You know, I was in some deep frustration yesterday with some things, and I was just living in it, and I couldn't get out of it. And I realized about halfway through, I was like, I never brought God into any of this. And what struck me today, I was reading, Christ is our advocate. Scripture talks about Christ as our advocate. He goes, in our anger, do not sin. And I just encourage you guys today to reach out, bring God into those moments. He is your advocate. He stands in the gap. And he's there for you. As you guys need it today, I pray that you feel that, all right? Let's worship. You guys want to worship today? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Amen. Thanks, Reed. And welcome again, everyone, and to everyone joining us online. We welcome you as well. And let's stand as we join together in worship.
Sing. He is
has paid. Proclaim our love for him. Yeah, he has paid.
He has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. And we will praise him with our lives.
Proclaim our love for him. And proclaim our love for him. Oh yes, Jesus, we turn our praise. We turn all of our thanks back to you. We just lift our lives of praise to you. Like it was just saying, and we let our lives speak of praise to you. Lord, we sing of your faithfulness in this place. You are so good. Each and every day of our lives, you are there working in our midst. And so we just honor you this morning. We just lift you in this place.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Shadow of turning with thee, thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great.
Sing that again in Spanish.
Oh, Dios eterno, tu misericordia, ni una sombra de duda tendrá. Tu compasión y bondad nunca serás, y por los lo mismo serás. Oh, tu fidelidad, oh, tu fidelidad, cada momento la veo venir. Nada me falta, pues todo.
pardon for sin.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faith,
great is thy faithfulness. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Perfect. Thank you. Good morning. Buenos dias. How many of you had the pleasure of looking at the Olympics, watching the Olympics? Wasn't that amazing? It's such an amazing thing to see people that are incredibly gifted from all over the world coming together to meet in one specific place every 4 years to compete. But more than that, just to show the beauty of all humanity, because you get to see so many different things happen. And so I remember throughout the whole event, all the events that were going on, there were so many times that I was really moved. And I remembered one of them specifically with this young lady from America who was like the star of the gymnast world. And for her to recognize that she was struggling and that she couldn't continue, and so she stepped out. And to see the support of the whole world, we're talking all of these countries that had sent their people that were now going to have a better chance of possibly, you know, getting a medal or what have you, but they were supporting her, a human being that was struggling. I saw another one where there was a race and two of the runners tripped and they fell down, and it was at the last turn. And it was one of their preliminary races, and so they just kind of looked at each other, and one of them even smiled like, that was it, that was our chance. But they stood up and they embraced and they walked through the finish line. I saw another one where a young lady from South Africa had won in swimming, and she was just weeping. She couldn't believe that she had won against all these incredibly gifted swimmers, and she was weeping, and the ones that placed second and third and others came to her and hugged her and held her and were celebrating with her. And then I think one of the greatest ones that I saw was two high jumpers, and they were just going neck and neck. This one would make it, that one would make it, and it just kept going higher and higher. And basically at the end of the thing, they were tied. And so the official goes up to them and says, you know, we can do this thing called jump off where you keep going until one wins. And then one of the two says, well, what if we won together? Could we share the podium? And then the official said, yeah, you can, if you guys agree to. And they both looked at each other and they high fived and hugged each other, and they were jumping for joy because they were willing to share this podium. And as I was looking at all these stories this morning in ESPN, the title was, this is what the Olympics are all about. It was about stories like that, which reminds me of how we in the Christian world, representing all places throughout this country and through this world, having just one one person that we look to that has taken care of everything that we needed as far as our eternal life. Jesus, who lived, died, and rose again, so we would have the promise of eternal life. And that's what makes us one. We could have different representations all over this world, different denominations, different perspectives, different ways of trying to make it to that podium. But the thing is that God says, all of you are on this podium. All of you win because of my son. And so because of that, I wanted to pray a blessing on Pastor Ron. He's going to share a message on what a community looks like and what a community is and what God has done in bringing us together. So when you look at the rings of the Olympics, all these different colors representing every tribe, nation, and country, every language, competing together and playing together and enjoying themselves. And they meet at the end of the event. They go to this one place called the Olympic Village. And that's what we are. We're a village on this planet. And so with that, I wanted to pray a blessing on Pastor Ron. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless Pastor Ron and the message that you've placed in his heart. Father, that you would draw us even closer. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities you've given us over this last year and a half to come together like this and to celebrate you and to celebrate each other. Father, as you have united and you continue to unite us to be one and to live as one, to work as one. And so, Father, bless the rest of our time together. We thank you for this morning. What a beautiful and glorious day you've given us. We give this day back to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. La noche acaba. Palabra se cumplirá. Mi corazón te alabará. Cristo mi Salvador, cumbre mi con tu amor. Mi corazón te alabará.
Your promise.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You'll never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Never fail me
out together. I've seen you move. I've seen you move. You move the mountains. Yeah.
Perspective. One of our own, one of the worship team members, is right now in the hospital fighting COVID. And he wanted this song sung because, you know, he's in that room and he's looking. He said, I thought these walls would fall by now. But God has not failed him. He's getting better and better. His oxygen's getting lower and lower. Higher in the bloodstream, lower in the flow. And we can, now when I heard that Jonathan told us this morning, you know, Matt wanted this song sung. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I think we need to do it one more time. I think everybody's got mountains in their life. I want you to today agree with us that we're going to move mountains. Can you start us in a chorus one more time? And now, don't forget to pray for Matt, too. Let's pray those mountains come down in all of our lives and his. Come on, let's get some.
The Son of Man, stories of a Savior, holiness with human hands, treasure for the traitor. No ear had heard, no eye had seen the image of the Father, until heaven came to live with me, a rescue like no other. For you are worthy, you are worthy of your name. Yes, you are worthy, you are. No sound. You died for your accusers. As your blood fell to the ground, you redefined my future. On the day when you arose, the King of Kings has claimed his throne. Now until forever. Sing out for the King of Kings. For the King of Kings.
Of all that rescue is then what he makes us. You know, we become new creations, and these words that we're about to sing are just the statements over our lives that are true now because of Jesus and the work of that rescue. And so let's sing this out.
You're my author, my maker, my ransom, my savior, my refuge, my hiding place. You're my helper, my healer, my blessed Redeemer, my answer, my saving grace. For you're my hope in the shadows, my strength in the battle, my anchor for all my days. And you stand by my side, and you stood in my place. Oh Jesus, no other.
Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the band a hand, please. They so deserve it. Bringing us every Sunday morning into the presence of God. God calls for our presence. He calls us in here. He calls us to be together. And it's an amazing thing that happens when we do come together as he calls. Good morning to all of you. Whether, again, you be in the Autoettes in spring, it's good to see you here. We're praying for you and your family, the whole family, and the passing of Mana. It's good to see all of you here who are present, both in the flesh, as we should say, and on online. Matt, we're loving you here. We're wishing that next week will be the week that you're allowed to come back and join us. And we're all in prayer, deep prayer with you. And for you and all else who are on there, who are ailing, who are sick, who are watching this because perhaps you can't be with us due to the virus, what have you, or some sickness. We love you all. We love you all. And I'm glad you all came because I need you. I need you. You know, when I was young and foolish, last week, as a matter of fact, I could think, I thought that I could do things by myself. Many things. I knew there were things that I could not do by myself, you know. I can't play football against a team. I need others in my life. I enjoyed team sports much more than the individual sports. Swimming was okay. Water polo was great. Because it wasn't just me. And I need each and every one of you. And I think if you were honest and not a young fool like I was, you would agree that you need others as well. We need each other. You know what? It's interesting because I think we were kind of designed that way, which means who knew that all along? God did, right? Who should have known that all along because he's made it clear in his word? We should, but for some reason we don't. We fight it, interestingly enough. This flesh is weird, weird stuff. God calls us to enter into community. He says, come in unity. Say that. Come in unity. Come in unity. Now say it a little faster. Come in unity. Say it even faster. Come in unity. What does it sound like? Say the abbreviation. Community. Right? And that's exactly what community is. It's us coming together in unity. Unifying together. It means to engage in each other's lives, to engage in each other's experiences, like showing up at funerals. That's hard. I know that's hard. It's the number one reason I did not want to become a pastor, is because of funerals. I didn't think I could face it. The year I came here as a pastor, we had 27 deaths in the community. The church did 17 of those, our church. 10 was from the Catholic Church, the funerals. So God taught me real quick that my weaknesses are what I need to work on and turn them into strengths. And we need to help each other do that. And that's why we are together. It's the iron sharpens iron concept, is it not? It's because we don't get along that he calls us together and says, get along. Grow. This is exactly what you need. It's the environment that you need. Visit the people in the hospitals. Others find that hard to do too. Assist in doing what we humanly can to alleviate another's suffering, anybody's suffering, all suffering. As a church community, we have the ability to offer ourselves literally as ministers. And offer our gifts as ministries to God. First and foremost, to God. But we do that, interestingly enough, as God would have it, we give it to God by giving it to others, right? By helping others. That's how we bless God. And that's all in God's plan. It's amazing. It's difficult for us, not for God. We either do it directly in service within the church, or we do it indirectly in outreach to the community. But we are helping others in community. Larry Crabb, in his great book, Safest Place on Earth, writes this: the difference between spiritual and unspiritual community is not whether conflict exists, but is rather our attitude towards conflict and our approach to handling it. When conflict is seen as an opportunity to draw more fully on spiritual resources, we have the making of a spiritual community. Yes? And that's why, again, we are brought together in community by the Holy Spirit, is to work on that spiritual growth. To begin developing unity in a church, you got to start first by developing a community. Sadly, you know, there are many people who claim that they know Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and yet in the next breath, they claim that they don't go to church, and they're almost kind of proud of it. Kind of proud of it because they don't believe, they say, in quote, organized religion, which is great, because I guess they believe in disorganized. I don't know. All I know is the moment that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, whether I liked it or not, I became a part of his family, right? I became a part of his church. I didn't have a choice. It came along with the larger lordship decision that I had made for Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. Even if we do not officially put our name on any roster or become a member of any local church, are we not still a member of God's church? it's kind of like we're the ones that are fighting against it. I don't understand. Instead of fighting for it to be perhaps what we feel that it needs to be, what we read that it needs to be. It's our faith in Christ that allows us to be called a child of God. And by default, all who put their faith in Jesus Christ then are God's children, right? Is that not what the word says? All become members then of the same family. We can no more be a Christian and have nothing to do with the church than we can be a person and not be the member of a family. We are the member of a family whether we are proudly or not. We are still the member of a family. For the church to function in unity, it must first become a community. We must first understand what it is that God desires for his people. Psalm 133 is one of my favorites, written by David. It's one of the Psalms of Ascent. Those are my favorite groups of Psalms. I like them because they're uplifting. They were said on the way to Jerusalem for the festivals. I like them also because majority of them are short, and they just kind of roll off the tongue. Psalm 133 says this, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head, running down onto the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down onto the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing." And this is the blessing, life forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. Beautiful psalm, David. Thank you. Thank you for writing it. No child of God is an only child. No child of God is an only child. But just like all families, we don't get to pick who we're going to let in our family. Wouldn't that be nice? No, actually, it wouldn't be nice, because you might be left out, right? I'm sure some of us would like to have chosen whether our brothers and sisters are members of our family, or perhaps we have the weird uncle who we wouldn't want to be part of any family, yet alone of our own, but we don't get to make that choice. That's an exclusive choice of God. The Christian community is similar. We don't get to choose who God calls into his kingdom. And like any community of diverse people, our church community is susceptible to the fact that we are not all going to get along at all times. Amen? That's a big amen. There will be, capitalized, will be people in our Christian community who are difficult to love, who are hard to be around at times. I know, I'm one of them. Becoming a Christian does not mean that we suddenly become accepting of all people. It does not mean that we automatically love all people, that no one will ever annoy us. It does not mean that we'll suddenly become immune to our emotions and never hate, never have envy. Never become jealous of another person in the church. Becoming a Christian does not mean that we'll go through some sort of magical metamorphosis, suddenly becoming a great conversationalist, you know, with no problem being engaging with every word that we speak. Becoming a glowing inspiration to everyone that we meet. No, the truth is, there's no such thing as a perfect Christian community. And why is that? Because there's no such thing as a perfect Christian. So there can't be a perfect Christian community. There always has been community members who will get cranky, who will be annoying, who will try our patience, who will try our hearts, and God designed it that way. It's actually part of God's plan, because through it all, we are commanded to remain united as one community, to work on it, to build upon the foundation of our love in Christ, because that's what we're going to have to use, right? That's what we need to be able to work on it. And as we grow more in the love of Christ and see that it is working, we are becoming more of a community, the community that God desires, That then begins to make sense to us. It builds our faith. We spread that around to others as they grow in that same understanding because of the love, the transforming love of Jesus Christ. Through it all, we will learn to love one another. Those are interesting words, aren't they? We've heard that before, haven't we? I want us to imagine sitting around the table with Jesus Christ and the disciples in that upper room on that last night of his life. And he makes a simple statement to his disciples. He says to them, this is in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you." Ah, that pricks our ears up as well. And we kind of move in closer because we don't want to miss a word, just like they did. "That you love one another," he says. "It's my new command. You love one another." And we kind of sit back and think, just like the other disciples, wait, that's not new. We've been struggling to do that in spite of our differences, in spite of our difficulties. But then Jesus lowers the boom. Yeah, they've been trying to do that by themselves, or in and of themselves. But he teaches them how to really accomplish it. He says, "Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." Copy me. Don't try to do it in your flesh. Do it the way I do it. Yes, in the flesh. And how is that? By relying totally on the Holy Spirit. And allowing his love to transform not just ourselves, but believe it or not, others whom we will be loving. Others whom we love. "Just as I have loved you." In other words, be like me. Be Christ-like. Like Christ. I want to be like Christ. Beloved, that's the standard. That's the standard that we have to strive by, that we're taught to strive by. For as a church community of believers, that is the standard, the love of Jesus Christ. We must strive to function together. Yes, even knowing that there will be trouble, that there will be conflict, that there will be disagreements, we still use those as ability or capability, opportunities to be able to love like Christ. We do this with not an erotic earthly love. We do it with a heavenly agape love. It's a love built upon the common bond that we all have through Jesus Christ. It's only found within us once we have the Holy Spirit within us. It is a divine love. It is a godly love. It was a love lost when the image was damaged. It is a love that is again restored as we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we have God living within again to love us transformingly and to love others through us and transform them. Does anyone remember any place in Scripture where we're told to be alone? You're told to be alone, you're told to act alone, you're told to stay alone? I don't. As a matter of fact, actually near the beginning of Scripture, we're told that we're not meant to be alone. Because in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God says flat out, "It is not good that man should be alone." And he created whom? He created woman. He created community at that point in time, a unity at that point in time. And as the man and the woman created family, community was supposed to be started, right? But unfortunately, the fall had already happened, interestingly enough. God is the first words, as far as the Bible is concerned. God is there. He is above the waters. He is then creating, right, from above the waters. So God is, and then we find out very quickly afterwards, that God is a triune God. And a triune God is the ultimate community, is it not? It's the ultimate community that was there from the very beginning. So community was there from the very beginning. even before this is all written, community existed. It existed in the most precious and powerful way, in a triune God. So God is relational. There's holy communion between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which means communion begins with God. And having been made in His image, we have then an innate and eternal desire to be among others. But since the fall, we don't know how to do it correctly. Why? Because the love is not there. The agape love is not there. Until again, Jesus Christ. His life on earth, His teaching, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, the Holy Spirit's coming, and now love is back. We have that love. We have that capability. And now we can transform our communities that were made in sin into spiritual communities. And yes, Jesus knew this when He surrounded Himself with not one, not two, how many disciples? Yeah, He was a glutton for punishment. 12 disciples and more, right? Which means the origins of the church are based in community. And like Luke in the book of Acts tells us plainly, more and more people are added when that community is felt in its purest forms. More and more people are added to the believers. He added to their numbers daily as they were merging together and forming community, like it had not been experienced ever on earth before. Really quite amazing. When we gather together to worship like we did this morning, we do it with others with whom we have one thing in common: sin. We have in common that we're all sinners. We have the need of a Savior. At the foot of the cross, we all stand on level ground, beloved. Some of us are sinners who, yes, are forgiven, for we've already put our faith in Jesus Christ. Others are sinners who are still seeking Jesus Christ, and he's drawing them into His family. But the inopportune fact is, no matter who we are, why we're here, we are still a community. And with that community, we've got but one task, and that is, as Christ says, love each other. Love each other. That is the initial and only real reason for community. And interestingly enough, it also is the basis of community, loving one another. And welcome with open arms all those that are seeking with that same love. They feel it, they get drawn more and more to Jesus Christ. True faith has always, will always have a social dynamic involved. Acts also tells us at the beginning of the church, they were gathered in one place. All who believed were together. They were selling all of their possessions, right? And merging everything into one. Anybody that had need, they were taking care of it. Day by day, they attended temple together and broke bread together. Let's get back to the psalm. Behold how good and how pleasant when brothers dwell in unity. You know, anyone who has brothers or sisters know that this desire to live in unity is not an easy task to fulfill. Sibling fights are in every family. They're the core of every rivalry, is a sinful nature, and makes us prideful, allows us to tell ourselves that we are better than our brothers or sisters, or at least that's what we tell ourselves. We also tell ourselves, you know, mom and dad loved you better, right? Which is the beginning of many sibling rivalries. Sibling rivalry is nothing new. It was invented by the first siblings. Who were they? Cain and Abel, right? Sibling rivalry. Right off the bat, we've blown it. Right off the bat, it's going to be problematic for families. We who are the church are not immune to these things. We know that. As we live and deal with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have the same conflicts, the same envy, the same hatred seems to be produced, and we feel guilty about it because we're not supposed to have that, but we do. An awesome thing about church community, however, is we know that God does not play favorites. So we can tell ourselves that. We live by that truth. God does not play favorites. He loves us all equally. He loves us all as if there were only one, and that we were that one. And we should strive to do the same then for others, because it all boils down to that love. But let's avoid these tendencies to pull away when we get discouraged, to pull away when we feel shameful because we said something we shouldn't have. Don't pull away, no. Ask for forgiveness. Draw closer into the family. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12. Put on then, he says to the church family, put on God's chosen, holy and beloved, passionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. As if one has complaint against another, then forgive them. As the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And what love is that? That is the agape love. That is agape love. One of the things we need to guard against is becoming too, institutionalized, because it tends to then cover that love. We try to hide behind our programs and our institutions. That can be a threat to community. So let's try hard to avoid treating others in the church as a commodity that can be used or discarded. Let's avoid seeing people impersonally in terms of how or where they can function within the church. And let's see them as the people that they truly are. Loved by God, loved by us, gifted by God. Let's find that gift and put it to good use so that the church can actually grow. Let's avoid seeing people then impersonally. Let's see them, the heart of their person. When we put institutionalized programs ahead of people as far as importance, we become less of a community. And while organizations and goals are good things, they are never to be more important than our one true purpose, and that is to build a personal relationship with God individually and encourage everyone else to build that personal relationship with God. And then go about building the relationship with the people of God who now have that personal relationship with God. That's the way we are become more like Christ. The psalm also says, community is like a precious oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down onto the collar of his robe. That is beautiful. It's a direct reference to the anointing of Aaron as the first high priest of Israel, the first high priest in Exodus. I love how it describes the overflowing of oil down the beard onto his robe of his anointing, the overflow of the anointing. Anointing pointing to each and every one of us as well as priests to one another. Priests providing spiritual guidance, compassion, accountability for each other. In Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this, it's not what a man is in himself as a Christian, his spirituality, his piety, that constitutes the basis of our community. What determines our brotherhood is what is by reason of Christ. Our community with one another consists solely in what Christ has done for each and every one of us. And what Christ has done is anoint us with his Holy Spirit. We are set apart for service to one another. We mediate to one another the mysteries of God. We represent to one another the address of God. We're priests who speak God's word and share Christ's sacrifice with one another. We Christians need other Christians to speak God's word to us. We need to hear it again and again and again. Sorry. We become uncertain and discouraged. That's when we need to hear it. For by ourselves, we can't help ourselves without belying this truth. We need brothers and sisters to help bear and proclaim the divine word of salvation. We need this, brother and sister, solely because of Jesus Christ. The Christ in their words is more certain than the Christ in our own hearts. So we need to hear God's word from our brothers and sisters and from their hearts. and all God's people said. The psalm compares God's blessings for community to the dew on Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon's about 9,000 feet above the desert floor. 9,000 feet. It's the highest mountain around Jerusalem. And because of the altitude up at the top, there's a heavy dew that accumulates on the ground in the morning. And it helps keep the dust down, but it also helps the animals and the plants by giving them some nourishment. It refreshes them, life-giving moisture for the plants and animals that live on the mountain. And the Christian community of brothers and sisters need to reflect that dew. It's like our duty, right? To refresh each other, to refresh each other's souls as we worship together, and to remind each other of the love that is found in Jesus Christ, our holy mountain, our rock. And together our lives become a series of endless mornings that begin days in which we can expect that the dew of community will come and will refresh us sometime during the day as we connect with one another, as we make a point of connecting, not just bumping into each other, but purposeful connection. For that is how a proper church functions here on earth. However, the community found in the church on earth is only partially realized here. It's a glimpse, isn't it? It's a glimpse. The fullness of joy and blessings will come as we look in great expectation to that eternal community that we will have in heaven with Christ, with God. God will ultimately fulfill our desire, our deep desire to belong, to fit in, when we finally are with Him for the rest of eternity. But until then, it's our privilege to belong to the greatest community that has and will ever exist here on earth, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. One of the best promises of heaven is the one letting us know that we will continue in relationship with those who have passed on, right? That's an interesting thing to think about, that the relationships that we once had on earth will be rekindled and will deepen. We might even, find some new relationships with people that we've been longing to talk to. We've been longing to ask questions. It's going to be phenomenal, the community that we enter into at that point in time. And yet we essentially have a foot in the door now. And more than that, if we allow. I do know the community that we experience will be different than anything on earth, because it will be a sinless community. When we gather, I mislabeled the numbers on the pages. I need Katie. Where are you? Here on this earth, we'll be disappointed, and we will disappoint others. We'll be hurt, and we will hurt others. But one day, we'll experience relationships as God intends us to experience them. Our finitude, our flesh, will not constrain us as it does now. Our self-absorption will melt away. We'll not worry about where we fit in or what others think about us. Our sin will not hurt us, and it will not hurt others as it does now. But in the meantime, let's grow in experiencing community as God intends here on earth. Let's enjoy one another. Let's serve one another. Let's exhort one another to love and good deeds. Let's love one another. Let's live like this is a dress rehearsal. Why? Because it is. It is. And if we find ourselves not seeing others we think we like in a deeper relationship or friendship with, well, let's grow up. Let's grow up in humility. Let's grow up in curiosity. Because here's the truth. There's no human being who's not worthy of knowing. There's not a person that we can't learn something from, that we can't connect with, that we can't enjoy benefits that we can share with them. Let's take the time that we have on earth to bring heaven to earth. Let's come in unity to make the community of God on this island into the church of God that we want, that God wants it to be. All we have to do, beloved, all we have to do is love one another. That's all. Can we do it? If we have Jesus' love within, yes, we can do it. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. Good morning, everybody. Let's bring heaven to earth. I love what you just said there. And for all of us here that are capable of being here, we are blessed, aren't we? For those of you listening online, we miss you. For those of you watching from the hospital, Matthew, we love you. And we know that you're at the tail ends of this. And that community is still there. Even though you're not physically present here, you're with us. And the Bible's very clear about this. And Ron, thank you for those specific scriptures. Jesus prayed that the church would become more perfectly unified, just as he and his Father were. And it seems at times it's been more divided than ever, as Ron was kind of talking about. Just so much has taken a stab at the church in the last decade, but specifically even the last 2 years. It seems becoming one is impossible. We're at the tail ends of a very awkward outrigger paddle season for Team Catalina here. This is an awkward season. Most, if not all, of our races have been canceled. So we're training for something. They announced the last two races, one of which is completely turned around from a 9-man to a 6-man. And then the granddaddy of all races, the crossing, which is September 11th and 12th, is still a go. Getting our teams together has just been hard. Getting our teams to paddle in sync together, almost impossible, as everyone's in different shapes and conditioning and fitness levels. This year we put together our Unite Teen team. Marissa jumped in the boat just recently, and at the end of practice, she was like, "Oh man, this is a lot more difficult than I thought." And I said, "Marissa, I've seen 65-year-old men that have blown away 19 to 21-year-old kids in a boat that think they have all the strength and power because their timing is off. And these guys in their 60s had perfect timing, just blown across the channel, blew away younger teams." The Bible says we're created in such a way that we are capable of attaining oneness with God and with each other, working together in sync, not just attending services, but as Ron was saying in Scripture, how we act in love towards each other in town. And even on a boat, when you're standing in line and you recognize someone and you have a chance to spend time relationally with them for the next hour and 5 minutes crossing the channel, right? Where you sit on a boat even, or in a restaurant. Opportunity. The enemy would just love to come in, get a foothold, and steal, kill, and destroy an opportunity to build kingdom, wouldn't he? What would it look like if the church really believed this and started pursuing it seriously? I'm going to ask you to stand in prayer with me as we close today. A great Bible verse in John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21 says, "Jesus, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I are in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Ron made it very clear in Scripture. God makes it very clear in Scripture. There is no way to the Father but through his Son. And what he has done for us creates the unity. If you just pray quietly with me. I want to say a couple things here as we're praying. How powerful would it be to see thousands of believers coming together with Jesus' heart and praying for the thing that Jesus commanded and died for? It's not about me. And my friends, it's not about you. And it's not about whatever I want or whatever you want. It's about him and what he wants. Father, we recognize and believe that you sent your Son to die for us so that we could be forgiven of our sin, and that his death was supposed to bring us together. And that's what you want, God? Then we want whatever you want. And we'll do whatever you want us to do. And as we do that as individuals, my friends, then we can come together. What if God looked down one day and he could see his children truly in awe of him and huddled together in groups all around the world just to marvel at him, just to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We want your kingdom. We want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven." My friends, see, in heaven, everyone gets it. They can see him. And there's just this awe, this unified awe over him. And our only hope right now is that we beg God together and we say, "Lord, we want it to be like it is in heaven, united around your throne." And we want that right now. We want that right here on earth as it is in heaven. We ask more than just a blessing. We ask that you will disturb us from our comfort zones. And may we look with the malaise taken off of our eyes at another individual and say, "You matter. And I know that because I know I matter." We have a God of the universe who has created us and provided a way back to him. And I can love you just like I love God. I can love others. We ask this not only as pastors, not only as staff, not only as a worship team. We ask this on behalf of everyone here needing this, more than just a vaccine. This pulls together people with hope that really is the hope of the universe. It's in awe of an amazing creator. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just stay right there as we close this song together. Just that same prayer, that same spirit right where we are. This song, just one of my favorites, just such a great prayer to God. Praying for unity, praying for whatever you have, God, whatever you ask, we move into that direction.
And just one king, and just one crown, could rule and reign here till the darkness has bowed down. So hear your people as we pray and humbly seek your face. We seek your face. Oh, whatever you want, whatever you ask, our lives are yours. We gladly lay them in your hands. Set revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out till heaven fills the earth. Whoa, 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 whoa. Just one love and just one hope can unify this great divide and make us whole. A royal priesthood for your faith, a people called by your great name, by your revival free in our surrendering.
It has already started. Eternity has already started, and we're living in this side of it right now. But let's let that heaven come to earth, right? Amen. This week, just live out of that oneness with each other. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Amen. And weekend.